On this last Sunday before Christmas, we hear this very powerful gospel of the Annunciation of the birth of the conception and the birth of Jesus. I always think when we hear these passages that we've heard many times before, we can sometimes not listen attentively because we know it, we know the story, we've heard it before. So I think especially with these texts that are so familiar to us, it's really good to try to read and listen attentively. I remember when I used to do a Bible study with Bishop Lavore and high school students in New Ulm, Bishop Lavore would always, we'd read a passage and he would say, "Gosh, it's like I was reading it for the first time. So many things I'd never thought about before." And I was always impressed by that because he's not a young man or a young priest. So he's read all these things many times, but he could always find something new in them. And I always wanted to read the scripture like he reads the scripture. So to help us to understand what God's doing in this event and in this passage in Luke's gospel, I think it's helpful to see what else is going on in the first chapter of Luke's gospel. So we're in Luke chapter 1, and right before this annunciation, there's another annunciation, and that's the announcement of St. John the Baptist. And I think it's really helpful if we want to understand the significance of what God's doing in this annunciation, if we look at that and look at the annunciation that just happened right before this in Luke's gospel. So as we heard indicated in today's gospel, Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, was a cousin of Mary's. Elizabeth and Zechariah were of old age, at least past childbearing years, and they were never able to have children. So obviously that was a sorrow for them, as it is a sorrow for couples who find themselves unable to have children. Certainly they prayed many times that God would give them a child, as couples today pray fervently that God would give them a child if they're struggling to do so. And Zechariah was a priest of the temple, and there were many temple priests, and they would rotate in to serve. And on this particular day, it was the day of the incense offering, and Zechariah was chosen by lot to go and offer the incense. And so he would have entered into the Holy of Holies, which is the place where the Ark of the Covenant was kept, is the most sacred place in the world to the Jewish people. And only a priest could enter that place. So one priest would be chosen by chance, and he goes in and into the Holy of Holies, offers incense. Nobody else is there. There would have been a whole group of people praying outside of that sacred spot in the temple. And so what the scriptures tell us is that when Zechariah is inside the Holy of Holies offering, doing the incense offering, the archangel Gabriel appears to him. And similarly, like Mary, he's frightened. When angels appear in the scriptures, they're not like the cute, chubby-cheeked ones that often adorn our Christmas cards and other things. But angels must have been extremely impressive and fearful creatures, because that's a common reaction in scriptures. If you see an angel, you're scared of it. So anyway, the angel appears to Zechariah with this message. This is what he says. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He's coming to prepare a people fit for the Lord." So the archangel Gabriel indicates what John's mission is going to be, to prepare the people for the Lord. So I think it's just really interesting and helpful to contrast the two announcements, the two annunciations. In the announcement to Mary, what do we have? Well, we have a young woman, and young she would have had no significance in society. She was young, she was a woman, she didn't matter. At least in the eyes of the world. Of course, she mattered greatly in the eyes of God. So she's a young woman, and she lived in Nazareth of Galilee, we're told. Well, Galilee is in the northern part of Israel. Jerusalem is in Judah, which is the southern, or Judea, which is in the southern part. And the Judeans always looked down upon their northern neighbors. In Galilee. It was kind of thought to be the backwards section of Israel, where Nazareth was. And partly it's because there were so many pagans who were occupying that territory. It was referred to sometimes as Galilee of the Gentiles, because the Gentiles lived there. There were some Jews, but few. And then she lives in Nazareth, which is a podunk town, kind of like Winsted, I guess. There's that scene in the beginning of John's Gospel when Jesus encounters Philip, and then Philip goes and tells Nathanael about Jesus, and Philip says, "We've met a man from Nazareth, and we think he's the Messiah." And Nathanael says back to him, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" So we get this sense of how people thought about Nazareth. It's backward, podunk, backwards place. So we contrast that setting with what happens immediately before that, which is the Archangel Gabriel appearing to Zechariah. Well, he's a priest, and he's in the holiest city on earth, Jerusalem, in the holiest place. In the city and on earth, in the temple, in the Holy of Holies. So that's like the normal place. If God's going to appear somewhere, that's where he's going to appear. To a priest in a holy place. But where's, and he does, Gabriel does make that announcement to Zechariah, but what's the more important of the two announcements? Well, it's certainly the announcement to Mary. And actually, what happens at that announcement is the greatest singular event in the history of the universe. Because at that moment when Mary says, "Let it be done unto me according to your word," the Holy Spirit overshadows her. And out of Mary's own flesh, from her own flesh, God unites himself with humanity. So for the first time in the history of the universe, God now has entered space and time in such a way that we can point at Mary's womb and say, there's God. God, of course, was involved in the lives of his people ever since creation, but he never became a thing in the universe until that day. So it's pretty significant that God would choose that setting, coming to this insignificant girl in a podunk town in a backwards region. It tells us a lot about God's values and God's priorities, and how God loves to visit us in the ordinariness of our life. You know, Zechariah was offering incense at a very sacred moment in the temple. What was Mary doing? We don't know. Maybe she was at prayer, maybe she wasn't, maybe she just gotten up from a nap, maybe she just ate some oatmeal, maybe she was folding clothes. We have no idea. But in the midst of the ordinariness and hiddenness of her life, God came. And the whole world was changed forever. teaches us how God wants and does act in our own life. So, brothers and sisters, as we approach Christmas, the constant temptation for us is to move on to Christmas without entering into the season that God has us in right now of Advent. And even in the midst of our busy lives, or even in the midst of celebrating Christmas with family, let's take these next few days really to try to prepare, and to prepare like Mary. Mary was ready for God. She was available to God at every moment. And this is what God wants us to be too, no matter what we're doing. In the ordinariness of our life, we might have a very boring life. Mary probably did. But how extraordinary did that ordinariness become? I love to think of how Jesus spent 30 years with Mary and Joseph in their house, and we hardly hear a peep about it in the scriptures. They must have lived a very ordinary life together as a family. But how extraordinary. How every moment was touched with grace because Jesus was there. God was there. How does God want to show us his presence in the ordinariness of our life? How much does he want us to have an open, available heart like Mary so that he can receive so that we can receive him whenever he comes? So that at every moment we can be ready to welcome him into our lives and in our hearts. So let's ask Mary today to help us to have a heart like hers, open, available, waiting, no matter what we're doing, ready for how God wants to come and to speak to us.